Welcome to this edition of the Beef Roundtable. This month's discussion will be divided into four segments that focus on how the 2016 election might impact agriculture and the beef industry in particular. In the first segment, we will talk about President Trump and his selection of Sonny Perdue to head the Department of Agriculture. I'm Dr. Ron Lemonager, Beef Extension Specialist at Purdue University, West Lafayette, Indiana.
And I'm Bert Rutherford, Senior Editor of Beef Magazine. I'm based in Denver, Colorado. Each month, we have a discussion with beef industry leaders on current topics that concern all beef producers, really.
Beef Roundtable is recorded live and edited to fit the time constraints of the program. The programs are available at the Beef Magazine website, iTunes, YouTube.com, as well as www.beefroundtable.com.
Our first guest is Steve Dittmer. Steve has nearly 30 years of experience in management, marketing, and communications in the beef industry. Currently, Steve is Executive Vice President of the Agribusiness Freedom Foundation. The AFF provides information and analysis for food chain participants, really everybody from farm to fork. Steve is a graduate of the Ohio State University.
Our second guest is Jay Truitt, a principal in the organization Policy Solutions, Motley, Scheer, and Truitt, a bipartisan government relations and public affairs firm. Jay has served as vice president of government affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, as well as CEO and executive vice president of the Missouri Cattlemen's Association and the Missouri Cattlemen's Foundation. Truitt received his BA in communications from the USAF.
It's good to be here.
This January brought not only a new year, certainly, but a new government and a new governmental philosophy to power in Washington. Gentlemen, what do you think beef producers can expect from our new president, Donald Trump, who has really almost a totally urban background?
Well, Jay doesn't want to start, so I'll say this. He may have an urban background, but he is a businessman, and we haven't had that experience since, I guess, President Bush, obviously. President Obama had no real business experience. And I think we'll see how much he understands small business, because I think that is a good swath of the people that he really appealed to in this election. Small business, middle-class people who do work for a living. And I think it's going to be important that he can draw on that, that he really cares about those kinds of people, because they are where a lot of the jobs come from. It's where a lot of our economic development comes from. And they are the people who have really felt the weight of the regulation, for example, that has come to us over the last 20 years, as well as just a more abundant economy. It's not growing because of the tax load and the regulation load and a lot of other things. So there's a lot of optimism out in the country, and it's, I think, because of those things, plus somebody who says political correctness be blank, that he doesn't care about that, and a lot of the other people don't. And that political correctness philosophy has permeated our whole society, through from government, through society, through business, through personal relationships, and it's been a problem. And he said he doesn't care about it, and I think that appeals to a lot of people too.
Yeah, I think my take is along those same lines, that despite Mr. Trump's brand recognition, you know, in his former business life of being kind of that gold-plated, platinum kind of a brand, the fact of the matter is he got elected with blue-collar and rural votes, plain and simple. He wouldn't be president today if it weren't for all those counties that are pretty sparsely populated. He's clearly a really intelligent guy that gets who his real base is and who had supported him from the beginning. It wasn't the traditional GOP base that supported him from the beginning. And so I think he finds his base pretty reflective of him in a lot of respects. And the way he's approached Washington, D.C., for sure, has been I think people in Washington, D.C. feel like a bull in a china closet, but I think the rest of America looks at it and just says, for the people that are his supporters and certainly his key supporters, they look at him and say, hey, finally somebody that does what they say.
Worse, you heard the bull.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. It's a learning curve. I myself, I'm one of those people that spends a lot of time on the inside of D.C. as well, you know, and I have some concerns about him really understanding the mechanics of the city and how it actually functions. But I think that it's those very things that have frustrated America for a long time. And so if he's going to bulldoze through those, maybe it turns out that's the way to actually fix the system after all.
Well, he's going down the same roads, Kevin, so maybe we turn the bull loose, and if he gets the right advisors, people like you understand the insides, where the levers are and where the closets are, then we could maybe get a lot done.
Yeah.
Besides, imagine if the Gipper had to go over the top of Congress all the time to the media. Imagine what he would have done with a Twitter account.
Yeah. indeed.
Well, last month, President Trump named former Governor Sonny Perdue to head the Department of Agriculture. As a veterinarian and a Democratic senator, he obviously had influence on Georgia's ag policy through the 90s. And then in 1998, he switched to the Republican Party. He was elected governor of Georgia in 2002. And so what's your overall reaction to Trump's selection of Perdue to lead USDA?
I love the pick. I'm one of those people that I see these secretarial positions maybe a little bit differently than other people. First, I like when we bring a governor in, just from the perspective that they already have a team of their inside key advisors that they're going to bring with them, so they don't have to go out and actually solicit and pull in that group of people. He knew on day one who his chief of staff, his senior communication staff were going to be, who his chief counsel would be, and his internal advisors inside his personal office, which for an outsider becomes a really difficult thing. So the second thing that goes with that is their ability just to make executive decisions. You add to that the very fact that he has some dirt under his fingernails, practical experience from his life, and he's been kicked by a cow, so you don't have to explain to him the difference between a cow and a sow. He's going to get it, right? And I think it gives him a almost instant credibility. The third leg for the stool, I think, that's a real strength for him is that he's got family on the Hill, in the Senate, which allows him to instantly have the ability to go in and talk and probably deflect some of the natural aggression that would come from the opposition side at him right away. And it lets him focus on really just running the department. But I know there are people that were probably disappointed that it wasn't a farmer, or it wasn't a rancher, or it wasn't this, that, or the other. And we certainly have ranchers in the industry that I've worked with in the past that were more than capable of being the Secretary of Agriculture. But I do think bringing a governor in, especially from an agricultural state, gives them some instant ability to hit the ground running. And it's going to be a little bit before we even get them in place, so they're going to need to do that.
Well, I think I agree with all that, but there's another factor that I think is very important. To agriculture, and that is he understands the importance of trade. He's got several companies now that are involved in the export business, and we need all the help we can get to counter some of Trump's protectionist proclivities in the cabinet, and Perdue should be one. Wilbur Ross, who's Commerce Secretary, should also be one for all the kicks that Trump's delivered on China. Ross has evidently a collection of art worth millions of Chinese art. loves Chinese culture. He's been involved in companies with Chinese companies, even ones that are state-owned Chinese companies. It sounds like one of the economic advisors, Steve Moore, who's a big free trader and had a lot of emphasis on Trump, has signed on with CNN. So I guess he's not going to take a slot. I was hoping for Larry Kudlow to get Council of Economic Advisors. I guess that's still in the offing. But we need all the people that we can get talking about free trade and how important it is, not just to agriculture, but to, you know, a big chunk of the economy. And Purdue's going to help that.
Yeah, so I agree. I think that's one of the strengths. And equally, it's back to the final point I think that I had made, and you connected there, is that he has that actual practical experience of how production agriculture relates into that. Whether you come from Georgia, obviously you're going to talk about broilers and you're going to talk about some of the southern commodity crops, but he gets that. He gets the connection. He's been involved in the fertilizer and the supply side of the industry as well, so he knows it's a two-way street. You got to figure that out. Despite all the rhetoric, I don't have the apprehension that a lot of people do about trade. People that know my history know I'm as supportive as you can possibly be, and I've built a career around trying to help open markets for the U.S. beef industry. But I will tell you, I always believe that we can do better with a good negotiator than you can without one. And I do think that the team they're putting together at the U.S. Trade Representative's office may have to work a lot of 24-hour days, and they may burn a lot of people up in the process. But I think there's the real potential for us to keep opening doors, and it'll be reported otherwise. But at the end of the day, I think we're going to be able to make that happen.
Is Lighthizer going to be more of an enforcer, or will he be very good at negotiating new deals, do you think?
No, I think he's going to be great at actually putting a pretty aggressive team in place and negotiating really aggressive deals in the future. I really do. I think from the people that I've seen going in and out of there interviewing for the technical slots and some of those secondary negotiating teams, they're exactly the people that we want negotiating on our behalf. They know exactly the bad deals that we've made in the world, and they know where the real opportunities are. But obviously, you know, there's a half a dozen countries on the planet that could change the beef industry's export picture dramatically. We all know what they are, and we go through that. But we've also had some countries that we've been shipping product to for a long time that we probably didn't have the very best deal possible. I actually think that we can get that. I think it's out there and it can be gotten. Those are the kinds of things that at least I'm going to hold that team to. And I think Sonny Perdue combined with some of the trade negotiators that will be actually sitting at the table make for a good 1-2 punch. You got a diplomat and then you have the people that are going to punch them in the mouth.
Good deal. It's encouraging.
Yeah.
That about wraps up our first segment of our discussion on how President Trump and his selection of Secretary of Agriculture might impact the beef industry. Please join us next time when Steve Dittmer and Jay Truitt will join us for a discussion on how gypsum rules and the rulemaking that goes on in Washington, D.C. are impacting animal agriculture.